It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Jeff Jarvis and Gina Trapani are here. Kind of a sad day for us. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Also, some big Google news. Of course, there always is. That's why we talk each week on Twig. Next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 282, recorded January 7th, 2015. I Dream of Gina. This Week in Google is brought to you by Lynda.com. Invest in yourself for 2015. Lynda.com has thousands of courses to help you learn new tech, business, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit Lynda.com/twig. That's LYNDA.com/twig. And by LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom to save on your legal needs and gain access to a network of legal plan attorneys for guidance. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your specific direction. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the offer code TWIG to receive $10 off at checkout. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, the show where we talk about Google, the cloud, Facebook, Twitter, whatever's on our mind. A lot of media, too, because Jeff Jarvis is here, professor of journalism at CUNY, the City University of New York. Thank you for coming out for our New Year's Eve party. Jeff,
oh, it was great. It was Jeff just great.
Still beardless, which he did for $20,000. I am still hairless, which I did for $40,000. We raised $75,000 for UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund. Isn't that great?
Amazing.
Nice job. That's Gina Trapani from ThinkUp.com.
Hello.
And all about Android. And I have some very sad news. This is her last Twig.
My last weekly, right? I mean,
We said come back whenever you want, but I know that the business at ThinkUp has gotten busy, and you just don't have time to do. She's also leaving All About Android. In fact, you don't have any podcasts, right?
No, I won't be doing any podcasts the first time in like 6 years. Wow. Yeah, this is just so sad and bittersweet. But you know, I started building this company, ThinkUp, and I think we have a shot at making something that is sustainable. But it was like a weird kind of year. 2014 was hard. You know, we raised some venture capital, and then we figured out that we're a business, but we're not a venture capital business, meaning that, you know, we're not the hockey stick guys or, you know, 10 times whatever. We're just a regular business kind of building revenue very slowly. So we decided, hey, you know what, we're not going to do VC. We had to lay off a bunch of our team, which was really tough.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, my team was fantastic, and everyone was extremely understanding and totally got it. Everyone landed on their feet, and it was a small team to begin with. But yeah, it was tough. It was definitely painful. But, you know, Anil, my co-founder, and I, you know, really want to give this a go, and we want to work on it full-time, the two of us together, and that's what we plan to do in 2015. So it's going to be a full-time job and a half, and I've just been trying to be real honest with him and with my family and try to figure out.
You have a new baby, and I mean, you just moved, and so there's a lot on your plate. I completely understand, and
I'm still bereft. I'm still very
both
sad.
Both Jeff and I had the same reaction the chat room is having right now because they're hearing it for the first time. I said in capital letters, "This is horrible." Jeff, what did you write? It was great. In fact, I got to read Jeff's tribute to Gina. Because it was, you said it, of course, you're the wordsmith. You said it better than either Lisa or I could do. You just quite moving. Let me read it to you. I am so depressed about this, Gina.
Oh, wait, this is our email. Yep.
If there's anything that would make the show possible, I'd be so happy to keep working with you. And we have worked out something, so stay tuned. Gina's genius is bringing both a technologist's perspective and a profoundly ethical view of technology. And she's the nicest person I know. These are going to be impossible shoes to fill. And we all agree.
Oh, speaking of shoes, I then tried to push Gina prevaricated, but I tried to push that we could do this like a Shark Tank where Barbara and Lori shift off. Gina could be the part-time. And your response, Gina?
I said, I only wish that I could wear heels the way that Lori and Barbara wear heels.
That email thread was quite fun, I must admit. And Jeff really said it eloquently for Lisa and me both. We just, there's no way we can replace you. You have agreed. I'm happy to say to come back once a month.
Yes, and thank you for letting me do that, because I tell you, the idea of quitting completely cold turkey really freaked me out. This was such a hard decision. I mean, we've been through a lot together. It's been 6 years, 400 hours, once a week. I mean, I've lived in four different apartments. I've done the show from two different offices, from my mother's basement. I mean, I had a child. I mean, a lot has happened. We've been together for a long time, and I really wrestled with it. And, you know, it's just a matter of kind of hours in the day. And, you know, part of it is that I'm primarily a developer. You know, you guys are embedded in news, right?
It's easy for us. It's all we think about all week long.
Yeah. But, you know, there have been times, and I'm sure that our listeners have heard it. You know, there are times when I show up and I'm like, I haven't heard the story. I haven't been reading the news. So it's a little bit more prep time for me. And it takes my head out of, you know, I get into that coder flow thing. And I'm just going to have more on my plate this year. So it was such a hard decision, but I've so enjoyed my time on the show, and I am going to be back once a month. Thank you. And if I can, you know, harass Jason and Ron into having me on to
I don't
Android
think that'll be hard.
Harass? Are you kidding me?
I will. Hopefully I can come
anytime.
On.
Anytime.
Let me ask you, let's be honest with me. If you had won the App Arena, would you have stayed?
Is this what we needed to do to keep you,
Gina? That? Because I could fix it.
I went out strong last night, I'll be doing a show, the episode next week. But it was Ron's turn. It was all good. It was all good. I needed to give Ron a run. I wanted to give Ron, and I did. I took him to the last episode of the year.
At this point, every regular host on All About Android has won a year, so it's kind of worked out in a strange way.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yes,
well,
has.
We you really are a huge part of Twit, and we won't let you go. But we will let you have a little more time to yourself. I understand that.
I appreciate that. You've all been so supportive.
Door's always open. You know that. Yeah. And, you know, so Jeff and I will soldier on without her. Open to other. I know. We're open. Well, we have so many great people who have filled in and have been on the show in the past. Danny Sullivan, Kevin Marks, Matt Cutts. In fact, I told Lisa, you know, call Matt and see if he left Google. Because I could see this is Matt Cutts' new job. Matthew Ingram. So many good people have been on this show on a regular basis. Kevin Toefel, Adam Pasch. So we have certainly plenty of people who will rotate in. And we'll I think, you know.
I think it's also really important. I don't want to say this because I'm wrong, but a female perspective on this in this tech world is so valuable.
Yeah. And well, so that's important. Right. And so we are going to look for a woman for sure. Yeah.
But it's you know, I was racking my brain. That's what's wrong with technology. It is so hard.
Yeah.
Gina, you're rare in more ways than one.
Yeah. Well, and the great women in tech are in great demand, and there's a lot of competition. But you made a suggestion. We're going to call her. And,
I'm being an unabashed feminist and suggesting lots of
women
that I know.
We need that. We absolutely need that female perspective.
Keep the names coming.
Yeah. On all our shows.
Yeah, I will.
Intel announced yesterday that they're going to devote $300 million to improving diversity at Intel, which is, pretty much white and Asian men. And they're going to fund scholarships. They're going to do education. They're going to create jobs to get African-Americans, people of color, but also women in the door there. And it is something we all need to do so much. And it's, you have my commitment that throughout all of our shows that we're going to add diversity. As much as we can, and we really try as hard as we can.
Well, I want to help with that as much as you can. Yeah. So if you ever need suggestions, and I will continue to make the suggestions for my replacement here, but anytime, in any capacity, I want to help with that.
And I'd love to have a coder, because that was the other thing you brought here.
That's the other thing, exactly.
Right.
Real perspective.
Developer's perspective is very valuable. So we won't replace you, but we will find some other people to be on the show. And there will always be a chair, or an avatar, as we call these screens. You're the best. You're the best, Gina.
Thank you.
I know how Nick Denton felt.
Oh, well, screw Nick. The heck, Nick.
Getting to the news, and we will do the final change log. I don't know if we can do the change log, Jeff, without Gina. I think that's her.
No, we've screwed it up every time we try.
We are so bad at that. So bad.
Well, you'll find someone. You'll find someone who can do the change log, or you can retire it and do a different segment.
Yeah,
whatever.
We'll figure out some.
Yeah.
The chat room is so overclimped. They're just like, they're so sad. I kind of almost feel bad for them.
Chat room, you guys are awesome. Oh, this was really hard, but I'm actually glad that we got it out in the open and now we can. I'm thinking about all the time we spent together and how great it's been. So I'm happy.
We love having Gina on. And by the way, speaking of Matt Cutts, $1,000 from Mr. Matt for our UNICEF donation.
Oh, that
extremely generous. Also say it was timing.
Why? Because he put us over 50. His 30-day challenge is, can I get a tattoo on Leo's butt? And he succeeded.
Amazing. In one click of the PayPal button or whatever it is, he did his 30-day challenge.
Matt, I invite you to quit Google. You're tired there. Come to work for us, okay? Just telling you. I'm just saying. Google did finally weigh in on net neutrality, both Google and Microsoft, in fact, all the big tech giants had stayed strangely silent in the open comment period where the FCC was deciding, how do we protect net neutrality? You remember President Obama suggested Title II regulation. That's the part of the Telecommunications Act of 1934 that allows the FCC to regulate common carriers. In 1934, that meant the phone company. One of the approaches to protecting net neutrality, even the court suggested this in the Verizon versus FCC case, would be to declare broadband providers common carriers. Then the FCC would have jurisdiction. There'd be a lot of rules that maybe we don't want applied to internet providers. President Obama suggested a legal term called forbearance. That is, the FCC could selectively enforce Title II. Google has weighed in finally with a comment. There was some thought that really the tech giants were actually lobbying against Title II secretly through their lobbying, their governmental lobbying arms. But Google filed a comment and said that if the FCC does treat broadband internet providers like Google Fiber as telecommunications services, that would be potentially good for Google, because Google Fiber would then get access to utility poles and other essential infrastructure currently owned by the utilities, including other broadband providers. Really thrilled to have Google make some statement in this regard. And I'm kind of thrilled because it means Google may even be considering Google Fiber as a business, which we weren't sure. We thought maybe... Yeah,
that's cool. The statement is a little weird, though. I mean, is this in support? It felt like a little bit of a zinger. Like, oh, great, we get access to the polls now. I wasn't sure.
It was a zinger to Comcast.
If this is what we get, then great.
Because Comcast has access to the polls, by the way. AT&T, Comcast, all these others, they do have access.
Somebody on Twitter said, if we're at the point of negotiating the rate for access to the polls, then things have changed.
Right. Google Fiber, which competes against Comcast and AT&T, does not have the right. And the service has had trouble getting access to some polls as it builds out its fiber optic network to homes. A lot cheaper to put a wire on a pole than to trench. It's very expensive to dig. So it's about a tenth the price of digging trenches. Reed Hunt, who was chairman of the FCC in the 90s, said pole access is fundamental and Google will never be able to make the case for Google Fiber without it. If Title II gives Google pole access, then it might really rock the world with broadband access. Please. Wouldn't almost everybody watching want to at least have the choice of Google Fiber?
Yeah. Because, the competition is good. We believe in competition. It has had an effect, just like T-Mobile just had an effect on AT&T. Google has had an effect on Comcast. It's good. It's the American way.
According to this article in the Wall Street Journal's Digits column, Alistair Barr writing, he quotes a lawyer at the firm, Kelly Dryan Warren, who is also involved, a lobbyist in this. They are saying Google's saying to the FCC, if they go the Title II route, here's a fine point to deal with, regardless of whether they support or oppose the general approach. And this is what you're saying, Gina. It wasn't exactly you should go Title II. It was, well, if you do, so he
good
says,
on us.
Yeah,
yeah.
He says Google's covering its bases. They're merely being pragmatic. I don't
know.
That's
why we like them so much, right?
Right. They're very pragmatic. There's no doubt about that. Love to get Google Fiber. At least have that option. That'd be fabulous. Let's see. Google TV is dead, but we'll save that for the changelog.
So we can talk about it now, or we can save it. Yeah, either
we'll
way.
We'll chat about that. Because we got Android TV. We don't need Google TV. We got Android TV.
Yeah, that's the upshot.
Google also lobbying to free up low-cost and unused airwaves.
This is the other shoe to drop. They've talked about super Wi-Fi for a long time, and I think that's the other thing they're going to push.
It's about 150 megahertz of spectrum at around 3.5 gigahertz, so it's not that low frequency. But they're saying leave it unregulated, just like 2.4 gigahertz is unregulated. Look what we got because of the unregulated spectrum at 2.4. We got Wi-Fi. We got a Sonos. We got all sorts of interesting things. 3.5 gigahertz is not particularly useful to wireless carriers because it's not good for long distance and it doesn't go through things. But it does carry a lot of bandwidth. So it would be good for perhaps things like local wireless networks in parks and things like that. So Google is lobbying, saying, free the spectrum.
Free it up.
Free the spectrum.
Wireless for everybody.
Please release me.
Google has, like all the tech companies, finally realized that if you really want to get anything done, you got to go to Washington. You got to pay some lawyer with access to Congress critters a lot of money.
And yeah, play the game.
Got to play the game. Windows 8.1 vulnerability. Microsoft knows about it. In fact, they've known about it for 3 months because Google told them. Microsoft waited. Google announced it. They said, after 90 days, it's fair game. Microsoft, I'm sure, would have preferred that Google said nothing. But Google's point, and I think it's well taken, is, you know, if there's a security hole, it's reasonable for us to give the company a time to patch. But it's also a public's right to know if this hole exists, because the company could otherwise just ignore it and attackers could find it. Now, don't worry so much, because Microsoft points out that a bad guy would have to have valid login credentials and be able to log on locally to a targeted machine. It's not something that could easily be done over the internet.
I have weird mixed feelings about this. It feels like, on one hand, I totally understand that Google notified Microsoft about this vulnerability, gave them 90 days, and once the 90 days were up, even though Microsoft didn't issue the patch, announced the bug, published code on
published
how to exploit
code.
The bug.
They showed you how to do it.
I mean, I sort of get it, but I also wonder a little bit, like, somebody from Google couldn't pick up the phone to call somebody from Microsoft 5 days before and be like, hey, no, really? We're going to...
Well, they may have.
It felt like a little bit of a public shaming, slap on the wrist PR thing going on here at the risk of, you know, opening up users to a vulnerability. Like, I really can see both sides of it.
Well, it certainly is true that Google, there's no love lost between Google and Microsoft. They are competing, you know. Microsoft Windows competes kind of with the Chrome OS. In fact, Microsoft's been very aggressive about that.
Users lose. What I mean? Like, just because of a corporate spat doesn't mean that users should be,
I think this is a standard, though, in security. I can remember 20 years ago talking, well, maybe not 20, 15 years ago, talking with Matthew Conover of WooWoo, which was one of these early security firms. They'd found a bad bug. They'd asked Microsoft to patch it endlessly. And after 6 months, they finally said, the hackers are going to find this. We've got to tell the world. So it's a debate that does go on inside the security community all the time. What's an appropriate amount of time?
Right.
But I think everybody understands you can't sit on it forever.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And it concerns me that Microsoft able to push a patch. It concerns me just from a software perspective. We talked before, like, the measure of good software isn't how many bugs. It's how the company responds to those bugs, right? Like, how quickly it gets fixed and how well. That doesn't bode well. And 6 months is too long. And I get it. I totally get the argument. But it also feels like, why are you putting users at risk to sort of make a point, you know, that Microsoft is slow and didn't fix it? You know?
Well, you can blame both. Microsoft ignored it for 3 months.
Right. Microsoft's too slow, and Google didn't, you know, Google.
They're going to fix it now.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that they will.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody's in trouble at Microsoft for that.
I don't know.
At least I hope.
Yeah. Google's policy to do this has been in place since 2001. So it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's kind of a general practice in the security industry. I know what you're saying, Gina. It would be a little easier if these two weren't battling each other. I mean, it seems like they hate each other. Microsoft published those, you know, the Gmail man reading your emails and don't trust mm-hmm. Google and, you know.
Well, and hires lobbying companies to go after them and PR companies to go after them stealthily and.
Mark
yeah, they're
Penn.
Pretty nasty.
Well, and Google has never made a good version of any of the Google apps for Windows Phone and even tried to force Microsoft to get rid of the one version of YouTube they had that Microsoft had written.
Microsoft hasn't put Skype on Chrome.
Oh, wow. You're right. Although
that's why
I'm
here.
I think now you can – isn't there a Chrome extension? There is a way to
– Not yet.
No?
Hmm.
Google has been asked to remove 354 million pirate links in 2014. This is according to Torrent Freak. That's a lot of infringing links, 345 million. Not only that, it's an increase of 75% since 2013.
75%.
In 2008, Google received only a few dozen takedown notices. Now it processes more than a million a day.
Yeah, I mean, these companies have to be automating these takedown requests, right?
I mean,
they're not hiring humans to submit these like they were back in 2008.
There's probably somebody sitting in the Capitol Records building in Los Angeles that's sole job is to just keep pressing send on that email button.
And this one, and this one.
Send, send.
345 million times.
The way Torrent Freak came up with this number, Google doesn't do a yearly figure, but Torrent Freak went through each weekly report, which Google does do, and found, by the way, this is unique URLs, not merely requests, 345,169,134 unique URLs. Most takedown requests were sent for the domains foreshared.com, just in case you're a pirate and you want to know where to go, foreshared.com, rapidgator.net, and uploaded.net. Each had more than 5 million targeted URLs. UK music industry group BPI is number one. 60 million reported links from from BPI. Wow. Google sometimes does pull these down, right? I mean, aren't they required to by the DMCA?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. They do. I thought they'd take down most of them, I thought. Not all of them.
Yeah.
I guess their relationship with the MPAA went kind of sour because...
Well, yeah. You saw the Sony... Yeah. Part of the Sony leak showed how the MPAA and Sony had been in concert attacking Google by doing such sleazy things as hiring a former Mississippi State Attorney General to lobby current Mississippi State Attorney General Jim Hood to sue Google over pirate links.
We didn't do it. It's him. Over there.
Yeah.
Google says the right combination of price, convenience, and inventory will do far more to reduce piracy than enforcement can. I have to agree with that.
Mostly true, right? Yeah. I mean, look, there's always people who are going to go out of their way to not pay, but I think most people... I definitely had that shift. There was a time when I was acquiring video files in ways that I will not describe
Napster.
In detail here. But
Napster
at some point,
was amazing.
I was like, I'm just going to pay for it. I'll just stream it. I'm just going to pay. It's easier. I don't have to deal with all these crazy clients and like weirdo sites. I'd rather just pay the $4 or the $15 or whatever the heck it is. Like, it's just easier. Like, and now I do. I pay for everything. It's all on the up and up when it's available.
You know why Game of Thrones is the number one pirated show of 2014? Because HBO didn't offer it you couldn't watch it.
It's too hard to get.
So you had to pirate it. If they offered it for sale, I bet you half of those pirated copies would have been sold. The other question is, how many of the pirated copies would those people have ever spent any money anyway? You know, are you actually losing sales.
So how much impact will the new wireless ESPN
cable have? Oh, isn't that a good story? Let's take a break and talk about that. This is an announcement from CES, from EchoStar. They make the Dish Network. They've got a new Sling TV, which means you don't have to have a cable TV subscription. You can use your current internet to get ESPN, CNN, and others. Sports is a big part of why people have local TV, right? Cable.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We'll talk about that in just a bit. Gina Trapani's last show. Jeff Jarvis is here, too. We're crying. We're babies.
We're crying.
I have a dream.
Not forever and ever. Not forever.
No, I have a dream. I have a fantasy that, you know, ThinkUp's going to take off. You're going to sell it to some big company, make $1 billion, and then you're just going to work for free here forever.
The alternate possibility is that ThinkUp fails completely, and in 2016,
that's not my dream.
I say, Leo, please hire me.
I will quadruple your fee. Whatever it takes. We got to make sure Etta is, you know, gets plenty of applesauce.
Yeah.
Does she eat applesauce?
She loves applesauce.
Who does?
We even tricked her into liking the non-sweetened stuff.
Ooh.
So. Yeah. She's a true fan.
Smart. Our show today brought to you by Lynda.com. You know, a good New Year resolution would be to invest in yourself in 2015. And Lynda.com can help you kickstart your new year, learn something new. And we've got a free 10-day trial, so you can do it without any cost to you. Lynda.com. Millions of people around the world use Lynda.com. There are over 4,500 courses. You can learn anything. Web design, photography, visual design, soft business skills like time management, negotiation, software training like Excel, WordPress, Photoshop. All their courses are taught by the best experts in the business. People we know who've been on our show has been long and Derek Story and Burt Monroy. I mean, just some of the best people. And so they're great experts. They're great teachers. And the videos are beautifully produced. They're cut up so that you can go subject by subject. They have beautifully written transcripts, which you can search so you could find a part of the video just for the thing you're looking for. If you're looking to set up a new hobby or maybe improve your job skills to get a raise, make yourself more marketable to find a new job, set financial goals, better work-life balance, Lynda has something for everybody. SEO fundamentals. Got a website, you got to know that. And the good stuff too, right? Google Sheets essential training, as well as Excel essential training. Simple Android development tools. Yeah, you can learn to program. Very nice programming stuff there. In fact, they have that, code competition they have there that's so cool, where each week they have a new assignment, and then different instructors show how to do it in different languages. What a great way to learn how to code. Oh, man. Just nice. Some of the courses, I already recommended those. Yeah, or the Android development tools course teaches you how to build an Android app with easy-to-use development tools. Code Clinic, that's the one I was talking about. I love Lynda.com. It's just entertaining. If you've got the free 10-day trial, just take advantage of it. LYNDA.com/twig. Free 10-day trial. With your membership, you'll get unlimited access to all the courses on the site. And that means you can play them on iOS and Android devices as well as on your desktop. And, of course, you'll get all the new courses. They add new courses every week, lots of them. LYNDA, lynda.com/twig. Try it free for 10 days. I challenge you, learn something new in 2015. Lynda.com. So, I'm not sure what the details are yet on EchoStar's new Sling TV. But
$20. It includes
how much?
ESPN. $20 a month.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's just ESPN. No terrestrial networks. And then
not ABC, CBS, NBC.
Right.
But Turner, Scripps. I thought I saw CNN as well in here, but maybe not. As previously reported by Variety, Dish at some point anticipates being able to offer broadcast programming in a separate premium tier. So this is kind of like area was, but with the cooperation of the content creators. starts at $20 per month, and that includes ESPN, TBS, and TNT. You know, ESPN is the most expensive cable network. Cable companies know that customers, you know, keep their cable TV because of ESPN.
Well, but there's also, except for my son's home, Jake's home, no one here watches ESPN.
Right.
But I have no choice. You have to have ESPN, and it's the hugest, it's the biggest single cost.
I think it's 16 bucks a month to the cable company.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would love to go a la carte. I mean, I wish they do amazing things. ESPN is amazing, but I'm not a sports fan.
You'll get the all three, ESPN, ESPN2. Now, remember, ESPN is owned by ABC, which is owned by Disney. So it's also the case you get the Disney Channel and ABC Family.
You don't get, like, the eighth.
Not ABC broadcast.
ESPN channel. We also don't get the eighth or ninth
Ocho,
ESPN channel.
El Ocho.
There's a whole bunch more.
You'll get Cartoon Network. You will get CNN. I was right. And Adult Swim. And YouTube stuff from Maker Studios. Because Disney owns Maker. That's
right.
Interesting. So this is kind of almost a Disney deal. There's a kids extra option for $5 a month that gets you more Disney. Disney Junior, Disney XD, Boomerang, Baby TV, and Duck TV. You'll be getting those soon, Gina.
Yeah, you know, this honestly, I mean, when we moved in the new place, I introduced the idea of not getting cable, and I came to a dead stop because my partner is just a huge sports fan, and she was like, no, football. Like, what?
Yeah. Same thing. I couldn't do it.
Right.
Lisa would kill me.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's no way to watch NFL football unless you're a Verizon customer.
Right.
There's no way to watch it otherwise. And I like to watch, you know, this Sunday, my favorite drunk awards show, the Golden Globes. I like to watch. There's some live stuff I like to see. You can only see on network television. She likes The
once
Voice.
In a while, right?
Yeah, once in a while. Mm-hmm. I personally, I would just watch Downton Abbey all day if I had a choice. But that's because I'm so posh.
You are posh.
You hate Downton Abbey, Jeff?
No. I don't hate it, but it's no, Leo. Really?
Yeah, I love Downton Abbey. What's wrong with that? Yeah,
I love it too.
Yeah. It's like Glee in costumes. No, it's not at all like Glee in any form or fashion.
No, I watch it just for the Dowager's lines.
Yeah. No, she's so great.
Oh.
Maggie Smith. Now, you will not get a Sling TV set-top box. You will be able to use Roku or Fire TV, the Amazon solution, or Google's Nexus Player. Some smart TVs, too, from LG and Samsung will have it. Xbox One will have it. And, of course, you can do it on your computer and Android and iOS. Interesting. I think we're starting to see this shift to IPTV. It's going to be slow. It's going to be painful. You know that Comcast and everybody else are going to... You know why they're doing this right now? I swear, the Comcast-Time Warner merger... has left Comcast a little bit weakened. They haven't done it yet, and they want to get this through, right? And it's touch and go. And so Comcast has got to sheath its claws, even though you know they'd love to spank these companies. Say, well, if you're going to do that, I guess you don't need us, do you?
It's great news for you, too, Leo. I mean, for your network. It means that... You know, maybe it means that it'll be easier for people to discover Twit on their devices, on whatever devices that they're using. You know, last night on All About Android, we had the founder of Haystack TV, which is a mobile app that does personalized video, like news video for you. So you're like, I'm interested in CES, for example, and I'll show you news clips from various sources in the app. And it was a great conversation. I highly recommend it. But what I loved is that the app started basically as a Chromecast app. As a web page that would kind of pick out news clips you'd be interested in and then cast them to your screen. So it started, you know, on Chromecast, became an Android app, and now they're on Android TV, which we'll talk about later. But
so they're an aggregator of others' content?
News clip aggregator, right. So, like, I don't need a cable subscription in order to just to watch the news clips that would matter to me.
And how do they get the rights?
It's all YouTube. It's all YouTube. So they're basically, from what he said, they're basically, if it's on YouTube, then they have the ability to play it through their player. And, you know, news organizations are more and more putting up their individual segments.
Yeah, but they're going to stop if it costs them money to do this. And so if people do choose this in lieu of paying for a cable subscription. That comes right, you know, it's kind of hard to understand this, but the money you pay to the cable company for the local channels then goes to the local channels to some degree, right? The cable companies are paying the local channels for this. So if the cable companies can't sell you local packages because you don't need it anymore because you can watch news on YouTube, that's going to impact them, I think. And I think that's why this whole thing is so rickety. Mm-hmm. Everybody,
right, it's a shifting business model, it's right? It's got to be a shifting business model, right?
Yeah. You know, this is why it's taken so long for ESPN and others to say, okay, we're going to go over the top. HBO's a perfect example. We're going to go over the top. We're going to become an internet channel. Because the cable companies, either it's in their contracts, they can't. It was with Tech TV. The contract was very specific. You cannot put this stuff online. I mean, there was some limitations. You can only do a certain number of minutes per hour and so forth.
Right.
And I think these clauses persist in existing contracts. But also there's the threat that if you do it, well, I guess you don't need us anymore. And right now the business model for HBO and CNN and ESPN and everybody else is you got to be on the cable. So I don't know, frankly, how they're leveraging this. I have to think it's because of this Time Warner thing that Comcast can't really threaten them. And they're hoping they can get some.
I think you're right.
I think they're hoping they can get some critical mass, some momentum up before Comcast and Time Warner's over one way or the other.
Because they're trying to play nice with everything right now.
They don't dare say anything. They can't say boo.
Yeah.
All right. I got to ask you about this one. Gina, you did 23andMe. I did 23andMe.
So did I.
Yep. We all have wettier wax. I know that.
Yeah, I have brown hair, by the way. I don't know if you know this about me. Yeah.
I don't know.
Brown eyes.
We don't know.
But my spit says my hair is brown. So I love this idea. In fact, if you go to 23andMe on the web, they sell this whole idea that, hey, it's great. It's a genetic ancestry service. And for $99, you spit in a little tube, and they tell you kind of weak stuff, frankly, about, like, I'm 2% Neanderthal or something. I mean, silly stuff. But read this page carefully, because I'm wondering where it says, oh, and by the way, we're going to sell your genetic information to big companies for tens of millions.
With permission, I do believe the story says.
They say, and I don't remember them asking me.
No. They'll have to go and get permission now.
Oh, they have to come back. Because they look at your.
Like
look at
the
this.
First case, Parkinson's.
It's secure.
If you have Parkinson's, Leo.
Yes.
And if you believe that sharing your data is going to be helpful to try to find a cure for this disease.
Then you would want to do that, right.
And you would absolutely, I think, want to do that. And the story that I read said that you'll be given the option to do that.
We'll have to see. So they haven't done it yet?
Because this is going to start exactly the kind of techno panic that you start to allude to. But it's an example where sharing data could save lives.
I agree. But I feel like they should have been more clear up front, or it should say on the page as one of the features and benefits. Because paying them $99 to share my genetic data for tens of millions of dollars with Pfizer isn't, in my mind, how the deal was. Now, if they ask me, we'd like to share your stuff, it's opt-in or opt-out? Or did I already, when I signed up, with a lot of fine print?
The story I read, and I can't find it now, said they were going to have to go back to 3,000 people who have Parkinson's and ask their permission.
Oh, that's for those. That's because they want to combine the medical information with the genetic information. But they are also selling the larger database of genetic information that they have gathered. So that's different.
Wait, so this is anonymized and aggregated, or this is...
Yeah, I presume it is. Not the 3,000. That's the difference, I think.
I see.
Well, this isn't... It's not completely clear, so I guess we should find out. But I saw a lot of people saying, oh, look, they've said, if you ever saw their slide deck... For their investors, you would know this was the plan all along. And so I immediately went to the front page of the website expecting something around this, but I didn't see anything. So I think maybe it was in their slide deck, but unless you go to those kinds of conferences or you're a venture capitalist, you may not be completely clear. So this is the first of 10 deals with big biotech companies. Genentech is going to pay $60 million, or up to, for access to 23andMe's data to study Parkinson's. Since 23andMe started in 2006, it's convinced 800,000 customers, including the three of us, to hand over our DNA, one vial of spit at a time. By the way, they don't do a full analysis of the DNA. They only do small little bits. It's not a full genome you're getting back. But 23andMe wasn't going to find a big business by selling spit kits at the cut rate of $99. Well, I don't know about that. They've made $80 million.
Well, when they started, it was like $250. They lowered the price.
Big data has been in 23andMe's DNA from the beginning, writes Sarah Zhang in Gizmodo. She says, actually, it was founded by Ann Wojcicki, who was Sergey Brin's wife. She told the New York Times she watched, in the early days of Google, she watched Larry, and Larry would say, I just want the world's data on my laptop. She said, I felt the same way about healthcare. I wanted the world's data accessible. So that's why I started 23andMe. But it wasn't the sales pitch I got.
It's funny. So I feel like I'm probably the most pro-privacy of the three of us, but I don't have any problem with this. In fact, I feel like, this is data I want to help, given right. that it's aggregated and anonymous. I mean, they're not giving my name and address and social security number along with my sequence, right?
They will in some cases, but they'll ask you for permission in that
case.
They'll
ask you for permission, but they're asking about my lifestyle and where I live and my background, and then if I have certain genetic markers, and they're going to do research on how those things correlate. And I mean, that's the best possible use of my data.
Well, this is ironic because I tried to sign up for that MIT project where you would very publicly give them your entire genome. You'd pay for it, thousands of dollars, and then they would give your information by name to companies who wanted to do genomic research, and that I was behind.
So you feel duped, like you feel like you were...
Yeah, you got to tell people this.
I don't disagree with that, Leo, but I do agree with Gina that in general, I think it's a good thing. And even necessary thing. And the real issue to me when it comes to privacy is not that some pharmaceutical company gets tons of data that they can analyze and get some correlations out of that have value. I think that's a good thing. The real question is, could the police get your DNA and use it against you in a way that you don't know? That's privacy.
Well, but I'm also reading their privacy statement. They don't mention that they're going to sell your anonymized. They should say specifically, and we may sell your anonymized data to Big Pharma. Mm-hmm. They don't say that.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, they should definitely be transparent about it. It should not be only in their slide deck, for sure. I think because I knew the company's connection to Google, I just assumed that was part of the business model. But of course, you know, that's because we do what we do.
And there should be a big link on the front page and in this privacy to this setting.
Yeah, I haven't logged into 23andMe in a long time.
It does say, if you've given consent for your genetic and self-reported information to be used in research, 23andWe, this is another business, I guess, 23andWe.
Oh, boy.
Research, as described in the applicable consent document, no link. We may include such information in the aggregated genetic and self-reported information intended to be published in peer-reviewed scientific journals. It does imply that it's their own research arm, 23andWe. I don't know. I feel like they should have been a little more upfront. I agree with you. I mean, there's a huge benefit, societal benefit to this. But
right.
But people need to explicitly know what they're doing if they're going to do that.
Yeah, it's funny. I think I told you guys that when I did do the 23andMe, it was one of the weirder like user experiences I ever had because I had submitted my spit sample, and then I got this email from them that said, you've got this new information has been unlocked. And then I logged in and it said, hey, we have now identified this marker for Parkinson's, and now we know whether or not you have this marker. But this is potentially life-changing information, right? And you might want to sit down and get some privacy.
That's appropriate. By the way, they don't do that anymore.
And I was just like, I was totally freaked. And like, yeah. There I was in the middle of my work day, like not at all prepared for this. And I clicked on the button and I was like, oh no, you don't have it. And I was just like,
it implied that you did, right? Yeah.
I mean, it was a very bizarre interaction to have with a website. Like, that's an interaction I expect to have with my doctor. And it was weird. It felt like they'd built up this big reveal when they had nothing to tell me,
right.
Essentially. Anyway.
I think that was required. And remember, the FDA went after them, and they have now stopped. I think they've stopped giving health information.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think that was the thing the FDA didn't like.
That was the thing with the FDA. Yeah, the FDA got FDA, okay. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I had the same experience. I don't know. This is a very long privacy statement, and I don't see anything. They mention advertisers, general service providers. We may share aggregate information with third parties. Stripped of your registration information is different from individual. Get some data about genotype. I just think nobody's gonna deduce that they're gonna sell us for $60 million to Genentech from this information. Okay, withdraw my consent. You can go to your account settings page. All right, so let me do that. See if I can do that easily. Well, I won't do it on the air because I have to sign it. Would you withdraw your consent? No, you think this is good. Hello?
I do.
You give them consent.
Yep.
Yeah, and like I said, I never got selected, but Esther Dyson had done this big thing, and it was a really cool idea, and I wanted to do it.
Wait, so they sent an email? Did they send you an email saying, hey, there's...
No.
Do you want to... No, they didn't. Okay, no. I'm looking.
Privacy consent. I do not want to receive sharing invitations. See, you get all these invitations from third cousins... I want, right? That's different. Relatives operate.
Yeah.
Basic research consent. Here it is. So apparently I have given consent to participate in 23andMe scientific research. Stripped of identifying, registering information. That's the other thing that worries me a little bit is that how much can you anonymize genetic information?
Mm. Right.
And by the way, they still have my spit. There's a button that says discard sample, not recommended. I think they want to keep my spit.
Can you imagine that warehouse?
The spit warehouse.
The spit house.
800,000 saliva samples.
The brick spit house.
I want to see that. If I withdraw my consent, does the info that they sold get taken back? No. Anyway, it isn't really learning more about yourself this new year. It's really more letting Genentech learn more about yourself this new year.
But who's going to invent the drugs that are likely to save
you? I agree.
It ain't going to be you or me or AT&T.
Right.
It's going to be them.
And you know what? Everybody should be aware. That's all. And I wish they were a little more clear because I missed the slide deck.
Inevitably, the answer is clarity and... Right. And transparency, and you cannot make an informed consent if you're not informed.
Right.
That's the key. Right.
That's true.
This really scares me. Remember, the FBI says that, well, we know that it was North Korea. FBI director says those sloppy hackers revealed their IP addresses. That's how we know. Oh, dear.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Dear. Speaking at a Fordham Law School cybersecurity conference on Wednesday. Yeah. Hackers in the attack failed on multiple occasions to use proxy servers, revealing the IP addresses that tied them to North Koreans. They got sloppy. But we saw. So maybe that's the secret information. But as everybody knows... This stuff's more complicated than it might appear.
This also felt like a PR slap in the face a little bit. I'm just trying to embarrass the North Koreans.
Yeah, they were sloppy.
They were sloppy.
Yeah. We know who hacked Sony. We know it was North Koreans. We know. They were sloppy.
North Koreans.
Yeah.
They always leave a mess behind and we can identify.
Unless it was sloppy Chinese people who pretended to be North Koreans. But wait a minute. Verizon is apparently, according to Bloomberg, approaching AOL for a takeover or a joint venture. Joint venture, big deal. Takeover, interesting. Verizon wants to do more video. And the company isn't having significant acquisition instructions, according to Verizon Chief Executive Laurel McAdam. But there is potential for us to do partnerships. But I think that would be very interesting if Verizon acquired AOL. Boy, that would be a sad end. A sad story.
It would be. I have my doubts about it. I
think this is maybe not so.
I think it's not much. I was pretty appalled. Christopher Mims from the Wall Street Journal, who I think is good at covering technology, put up a tweet that I thought went over the top and said that is it Ross Levinson, the former Yahoo executive, who I guess had speculated something about this, said he shouldn't be ever able to work in a tech company again. I thought,
jeez. God, that's
you know, and I finally said to him, you know, there are people who say that about your proprietor in journalism. So,
Megan J. Smith, former Googler, MIT-trained mechanical engineer, and now the nation's chief technical officer, has a BlackBerry and a 2013 Dell laptop.
Wait, Megan has a what? Did you just say?
A BlackBerry and a 2013 Dell laptop.
Isn't that sad?
And by government standards, state of the art, baby.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
She says, I am here to upgrade the internet, the White House. But you must just laugh when she goes home to her 2015 5K iMac and puts the government computer aside.
Or perhaps, in her case, a Pixel.
She might have a Chromebook Pixel, too. Why not?
Yeah, she might.
Why not? We've talked before. We talked with Clay Johnson, who founder of Blue State Digital and the guy who ran Obama's online campaign in 2008. He said, you don't have any idea how bad it is when you arrive and you see these clunky old CRT monitors. And his technology is not, you know, up to date by any means.
So, it's slow.
Yeah, it's
slow. Slow.
You want government to be
security.
Slow.
You have a security program. Well, right. You do, right?
Yeah.
Until they tell you, they hand you the BlackBerry and the
yeah. Then you go, the ooh, that's slow.
Mm-hmm. That's ooh. Really slow.
And by the way, it's not one of them new BlackBerry classics. Oh, no. Nothing like that. We haven't done the changelog yet, have we? Let's take
a
break.
Not.
When we come back, Gina's final changelog. We're a couple of babies. If you shaved your head, we'd both look like babies, Jack.
Yeah, I know. We have baby butt skin now.
That's true. Very soft, very luscious. Our show today brought to you by LegalZoom. Beginning of the year means it's a good time to get your life in shape. And I know you've been putting off stuff like protecting your family with a will. Or a living trust. LegalZoom can make this very easy. We just got the will kit. It's so great. I think Lisa's doing it. I mean, nice binder, all the stuff you need. It couldn't be easier. It also means getting control of your financial affairs if you're thinking of starting a business, or maybe you already have one. Protect it simply, easily, and affordably with LegalZoom. You can incorporate, you can do an LLC, all sorts of stuff. For more than 10 years, LegalZoom has helped millions of people get the personalized attention they need. And if you like help, they could connect you with an independent attorney in more states. But understand, they're not a law firm. They're kind of better. They help you do the legal work you need to do with their guidance, their questionnaires. Don't let another year pass by before getting your life organized. For legal help you can count on, for your family, your small business, go to LegalZoom.com. And as a little thank you, if you mention Twig at checkout, use that offer code TWIG. You'll get $10 off. Just to say a little thank you. Protect your family. If you haven't done this, do it. Please, I beg of you. Protect your family. Protect your future at LegalZoom.com. Ooh, student loan forgiveness. See if you qualify, and then they'll help you do the paperwork. That's a good one. LegalZoom.com. Just make sure you use the offer code TWIG at checkout. Now, time to play the trumpets. One last time.
The Google Change Log.
Here's Gita Trapani.
You guys are killing me.
I know. It's me.
I'm enjoying the Love Fest. The Love Fest is great for my ego. I'm getting it in the chat room. I'm getting on Twitter. But still, you're killing me. I really don't want you to retire the changelog. I feel like I'm going to get you a new host that will continue the changelog.
Okay.
Now we're going to hang the trumpets. We're going to hang the trumpets up over the stadium. Retired.
Yeah. We'll get a foghorn.
The Gina jersey will go up there, hung up.
The vuvuzela, you know, in the other room.
Yeah, vuvuzela, the Chipotle burrito, and the Glee L, yeah.
Oh, memories.
All right, the changelog. Let's talk about Google Cast, not just the Chromecast, but the protocol, the cast protocol. At CES, Google announced Google Cast for Audio, which will let you play back sound from apps directly to speakers, soundbars, and AV receivers. Sony, LG, and Denon will be the first to offer Google Cast-ready products this spring, Google says. So you'll be casting your audio.
That's cool.
I actually already use my Chromecast to cast audio. Yeah. I Google Play Music, but you know, your TV has to be on, like the screen has to be on. So this is kind of nice. Hangouts for iOS is basically that Google's updated it, and it's basically brought it to parity with the Android version. So Hangouts on iOS now has Google Voice integration, so you can access SMS and voicemails from your Google Voice account and the Hangouts app. You can quickly share your location. You can add status messages and access stickers. Of course, so that's all on iOS.
Wait a minute, we have stickers.
There are stickers in and Hangouts. Yeah, Hangouts has gotten kind of fun in a weird way. I texted a hooray to someone recently, and you know, this little cute little guy.
If you just type hooray, it does it.
Yeah, if you send it to, or if you say like where are you, or if someone texts you where are you, there'll be a little button will show up that'll say like tap here to share your location. It's gotten really smart, so it actually kind of it analyzes the text of what you're sending or receiving, and then will respond.
But not on the desktop, only on the smartphone.
That's why. Let's see what else we got here. Google search results now displays song lyrics right in the one box at the top of the results page. So if you type in the song title and lyrics, it's kind of hit or miss. You'll get lyrics if the song is basically in Google Play. So the results are powered by Google Play. Huh. So if you type, you know, Beastie Boys, Fight for Your Right lyrics, you'll see the song lyrics right there in the results. I tried a couple of other songs. I didn't get them. It's got to be in Google Play, but still kind of nice.
Well, here's a question for you. Wasn't that long ago where lyric sites were being taken down just as much as download sites because lyrics were copyrighted, blah, 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 blah. Now we have things like, Rap Genius.
Yep.
Is it now, do artists now say, what the heck, my lyrics are my promotion, it's okay, and nobody's fighting it anymore?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I remember when that was. Yeah, that's interesting.
That was a thing, right?
Yeah.
That was
a brief thing, and maybe they lost in court. So what is the search? You type lyrics?
Yeah, you just type the song title and lyrics. So if you type like, okay, try that one.
Because this is...
Yeah, and then
I'm not getting this special thing.
Yeah, try Beastie Boys, Fight for Your Right. That one definitely works.
Okay.
It's got to be a song in Google Play, so it's a little bit limited. It's hit or miss.
So I type in Take Me to Church, a song I like, by the way.
There you go.
I get the video, and then I get maps to churches.
So maybe I have to type Rolling Stones Honky Tonk Woman.
Yeah, you see what says full lyrics on Google Play at the bottom of the box? Yeah.
Because this one I never could understand the words of. I would really love it if Google... Yeah, see? I guess it's not in there.
Yeah, it mustn't be in there. And they've written their database.
Yeah. Okay. Nobody knows the words.
Nobody
would. Yeah, I think when Tina Turner... wanted to record it, she actually had to go to Mick Jagger and say, could you write the words down? Because I don't.
Could you just
what the hell are you
down?
Saying? What is that exactly?
She should have done like the Google Voice transcription version. That would finally, Google TV, rest in peace. It's effectively dead. Google pulled support for the Google TV developer tools, which basically means you Can't build apps for Google TV anymore. It doesn't mean that existing TV, Google TV devices will stop working. Those will continue to work. The apps that you have on them will continue to work. But essentially, the Google TV team is going Android TV. Android TV is the new hotness. So, yeah, no more new Google TV apps. I know we were all on the edges of our seats waiting for new Google TV apps.
Yes. Well, I bought many a Google TV. I have several. I had the Logitech one. I think I had the Sony one.
You schmuck, you.
What a fool I am.
Man, oh man.
It feels pretty antiquated now. It feels about as bad as a 2013 Dell laptop.
Well, you know, I remember just the big pitch for Google TV being like, you get the web on your TV. And I remember being like, yes. But it was just the implementation that was wrong. And Chromecast is what...
Right.
Chromecast was the right implementation.
It's so lightweight. It's so great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
David Schmidt on Twitter just tweeted me and said, isn't the Pixel itself a 2013 computer?
Oh, it is.
Yeah, like, touche, I said.
Yeah, a lot of people in the chat room are mad at me saying, what do you mean a 2013 Dell? What's wrong with that? Well, I'm just going to say, in most companies, including ours, when a new employee arrives, they're given a new computer. Whatever, you know, so it would be, you know, you don't give them somebody else's hand-me-down. So it's not antiquated, but it's not normal in business to do that. Maybe it is. I don't know. You're right. 2013 is only 2 years ago. I'm showing my snobbery. And that...
Well done, Jason.
I got my my Google conk.
Nice.
My mournful conk.
Aww.
It's just not... It's almost majestic enough, but
almost
not quite.
Almost majestic. That's me. Almost majestic.
Almost majestic enough.
Sounds like a bull elephant, a mating call of a bull elephant. It's not good.
I dig the beads. That's fancy.
This is a vuvuzela from South Africa from the previous World Cup, and a fan brought it. It was actually played in South Africa.
Oh, it's not beads. It's like knit. It's knit.
It's beads. Like, well, it is beads, but it's a knit. It's not made of beads. It's a knit cover.
Gotcha. It's like a cover. Yeah. Very nice.
It's pretty sweet, huh?
Dig it.
If you'd come to our New Year's Eve party, I would have let you play it with the band.
Oh, man, next year.
Anything else you want to say before we get to our picks, tips, and number, our last
tip? Oh, wow, we're already there? Jeez.
Yeah.
How
about Ev and Sarah Lacey? I didn't even know they were fighting.
Well, Sarah wrote this column, and she got some grief for it. She wrote a piece basically saying that tech guys don't have the courage to be media guys. Using as an example, Omidyar and Ev, and I forget the other one, saying they were conflict averse.
Jeff Bezos, maybe.
Bezos, yeah, and she was comparing herself to her role model. Some said to her role model, Kay Graham.
Oh, please,
the Washington Post.
Yeah, and Walter Cronkite is my role model.
Well, so she was already getting some grief over that.
Yeah.
And then Ev came back, I think, with a very, very good response in which he said, you know, what are you saying? I'm conflict averse or risk averse. You know, I know Ev risked everything he had to get Blogger going. He's risking constantly. He's changing the world a third time now. He's doing amazing things. And you're not going to say what the kicker is, but I'll just say, people, go to the link and read the kicker because it's great. Brilliant.
Yeah, I just read it.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay.
I won't spoil it for you. Just go read it.
Well, she said to Ev, F off, right? And then Ed,
no.
That was her. Right. That was his response to her. Okay.
To her.
Yeah.
Because she said that he doesn't like conflict, and his response to that was F off.
I see.
I'm okay with conflict. See? That's what was brilliant about
it. Yeah. Oh, there it is. I get it. You know, it's so inside baseball, and so few people even know who Sarah Lacey and Ev Williams are.
I know. It's true.
It's like, oh, they're fighting. Oh.
But it's fun for us.
It's fun for us. We know who they are.
Fun for us.
And we know the backstory, the incessantly long backstory. I'm not going to get into it. Richard Stallman. Oh, I feel like Ev, I mean, there is a point taken that he's really not. I mean, Medium is about as much about journalism as Blogger or Twitter.
Well, whatever. That's what he says. That's what he says, too, is why are you going after me? I'm a magazine publisher. Some of the stuff we publish ourselves. Right. Some we don't. Gave him, he's gotten crap because One Piece was taken down, but he didn't take it down. The author took
right.
it down.
Right.
You know, I was creating a platform where people can create and say all kinds of things.
You love Medium. You publish on Medium, right?
I do a lot. And I'm publishing my entire book, Geek Sparing Gifts, right. available now. Not only to buy, but you can read it chapter
I'm
by chapter.
I'm still puzzled by that. I've said this to you many times. I don't understand why you would give away your content to Ev.
It's distribution.
Well, in this case, my goal is to change the world and brainwash people.
Right. You want to see as many people see as possible. But Medium isn't like YouTube. I can see you do it on YouTube because YouTube is where everybody goes. But really, is Medium like a big publishing platform? Send it to the New York Times.
Well, it's pretty and it's easy to
use. It's pretty and it's easy to use.
Go there.
It's a nice tool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great tool.
Yeah.
And there's a certain cachet about it, right? I mean, it has a certain. Yeah.
Ev's very good at that, too. But it's all to his benefit.
Yeah.
He's a businessman.
That's okay. Yeah. That's okay. I mean, the and this is part of the Stallman piece, too. This paranoia that occurs if somebody else gets benefit out of something that you do there. You know, I remember when
but Richard Stallman, who I love, who created.
Oh, he drives me nuts.
Well, he created GNU.
He's done amazing things in his career, absolutely amazing things.
He was one of the
paranoid.
Original MIT hackers. He wrote Emacs.
He's religious
about it. Oh, in fact, he doesn't want people to call it Linux. He says, and won't do an interview with you unless you call it GNU Linux. He doesn't like unfree software. He says all software should be free, as in Libre. And he says, don't use Uber because it uses a non-free program, an app. And it requires the use of other non-free software. It lets Big Brother track you. Well, okay.
Non-free programs trample
users. That's his top reason for not using Uber?
Yeah, because it uses an app, which is a non-free program, and a non-free program tramples its users' freedom. But I understand Richard's philosophy. He is a purist.
Oh, boy.
But there's no, I mean, it's just not practical in the real world to only use Libre software.
Stallman has to exist. I'm glad that he exists.
I am too.
Right?
Yes.
He sets an extreme bar, right? And then you can, and he asks questions maybe that no one else. I think it's important to have kind of the radicals, you know, in the world. And he's one of them. And I, you know.
He does, by the way, in the remainder of the article, talk about all the other completely legitimate and good reasons you shouldn't use Uber.
Listen, there's plenty of ways you can complain about Uber and think it's an awful company and does some bad things. I have no problem with that. But the rationale behind this if it's free, it's bad routine, you know, if you're the product routine, I'm just tired of the camp.
Anil also hates that line.
Well,
Gina, you're not paying.
Gina, you're gonna miss this. You're gonna miss this.
Oh, man.
I'm always in favor of open versus proprietary, but I'm not religious about it. I'm not, which he is, which is fine. I don't, you know, I think he's right. Remember, he comes from the earliest days of computer hackery, where if you needed a program, you wrote it yourself. And it would be rude to not let others take your program, modify it for their own use, you know, that kind of thing. And that's all he's saying. And that comes from that. I think that, you know, many ways, you know, it's like Marxism. It's a little bit ideological, but I understand what he's saying. I may be more on his side than not.
Oh, you just do that to be contrary.
No,
hairless among the hairy.
He is very hairy, and he plays a mean recorder. And we got him on the screensavers to sing the open source anthem.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, by the way, you know, some time ago, I really wanted Barlow to come on and do a dramatic reading of his, and he wouldn't do it. I asked him to, and he wouldn't do it. Now he's done it. Have you seen that?
No.
There's a dramatic reading, I don't think with quite the oomph I would have given it, of his Declaration of Independence for Cyberspace, and you can buy it as a limited edition final disc.
I hope he says inspired by Jeff Jarvis.
No, I'm sure I was one of many who asked him to do this.
Is there? I probably is. proprietary. I can't play it.
No, not with him.
Well, I maybe have to pay for it and give money to the EFF. I love John Perry Barlow. When he was on Triangulation, I mentioned that. He said, I don't even believe in it anymore. He said, I wrote that a long time ago.
Search for J.P. Barlow, Declaration of Independence, Final, and you'll find it on Boing Boing.
Final. Isn't that funny?
Isn't it funny, too? Yeah, I have to go buy it.
It's a limited edition vinyl. He wrote it in 1996. It's a 180-gram vinyl edition from the Department of Records. Black on black sleeve with an embossed title, a high-quality printing of the Declaration inside, and the B-side sports a version backed by an original score from Drazen Bozniak. Wow. But it is, you're right, free CC license downloads.
Of course.
Governments of the industrial world, you weary giants of flesh and steel, I come from cyberspace. It does sound a little dated.
Oh, but I love it. Well, play just a few seconds of
it. Should I? If I can find it. Is the audio on here?
Go to the link. There you go.
All right, let's see here. All right.
There you go.
Track one. Ladies and gentlemen, we give you John Perry Barlow.
A declaration of the independence of cyberspace. Governments of the industrial world, you weary giants of flesh and steel, I come from cyberspace, the new home of mind.
It's a little like hearing Ezra Pound read his poetry. It just takes a little of the wind out of the sails.
Yeah.
Some people are better.
He's reasonable. He's supposed to be mad.
Yeah, I'm here.
On behalf of the future, I ask you of the past to leave us alone.
This is 1996.
It's a great piece, I still think.
You are not welcome among us. You have no sovereignty where we gather. We have no elected government, nor are we likely to have one.
I wish this were true. Let me play it with the music. Let's see how that sounds.
Governments of the industrial world, you weary giants of flesh and steel, I come from cyberspace, the new home of mind.
I'm sure there'll be a YouTube video
on
soon.
On behalf of the future, I ask you of the past.
I like this.
To leave us.
Wow, Jeff, this was your idea, a declaration of the independence.
No, I was hardly the only one.
Departmentofrecords.co, that's who made it. And I guess this is the first of many from the Department of Records. And I think we should buy it. I'm going to buy it. How much is it? You can get it in FLAC, MP3, or for $50, you can get it in plastic. And then all you need is a turntable.
Turntable, that's the problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the worst time I've ever had in my life. Because I have to say goodbye to, temporary goodbye to Gina Trapani. She'll be back every month, though, which is nice.
And I'll check in on you, too.
And you will see Once others on this show. It's a chance for us to get many of the other hosts that we've had fill in the past on a regular basis. And I think we're gonna find a woman of color who is a computer programmer and an Android lover to replace you. That's my goal.
You can do it.
Set the bar that high.
That's at the bar high.
Hey, Gina, you're the best. You really are. People, please, let's keep Gina gainfully employed by going to thinkup.com and subscribing. It is awesome. $5 a month. There is a free trial. The insights you get will be amazing. I'll show you my insights. Jeff and I are subscribers. Oops, I went to the wrong page. And we love it.
It attracts my F words religiously.
Beautifully. Let's see. Cashmere Hill has changed her bio. I got three interesting new followers, including somebody named Jupiter in Velvet. Now the head shaver got some big favorites this week.
Oh, yeah.
Big favorites, yeah. 19% of my status updates contained the word I, me, mine.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's
not bad. I am not as bad as people think. this is my most popular tweet 2 years ago. What happens in Vegas city badge on Foursquare? Mm-hmm. Those were the days. Remember that? 100 replies on my bald passport picture. And Steve, you can thank me for generating more than 500,000 more people seeing your tweet. So this is fun. This is what you get. ThinkUp.com.
Thank you so much for talking about ThinkUp and being so supportive. You and Jeff and Jason and Ron on All About Android. I really appreciate it. And yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's a lot of fun, but
you'll be back.
We'll see what happens.
You'll be back.
And thank you for 6 amazing years of talking about Google. It's been such a pleasure and a privilege to have this time with you all every week.
And you know, I've always been such a fan. And you know, I remember when Merlin Mann said, "I want to do a productivity show with Gina Trapani," and we called you. And from then on, it's been nothing but a romance. And so you're the greatest.
Thing. Yeah, Gina, I can't tell you how much I've learned from you and how delighted I am to be near you. And we're going to make sure you get rich so you retire right here.
Yes. That's my fantasy. Verizon comes along, buys it for $100 million, and you spend the rest of your life doing podcasts.
You know, it's not my main goal, but I'll take it. As a side effect, I'll take it. Yeah, I wouldn't turn that down. Well, thank you. Thank you again for everything. I've learned so much about broadcasting and about watching, especially you, Leo, and especially Jason, the two of you are just such consummate professionals, and you're so good at what you do. You're such incredible experts. It's been 6 years, and I still trip over my own words and have a hard time forming a complete sentence. And it's been incredible. And I'm really glad that I'll be back in a month.
Yes. We'll make sure of that.
Yeah. And I'll be in touch with Jason.
I got your email and your number, actually.
We know where you can find you. We know where to find you. So we'll just skip the tip and the number and just make, because I think this is the way to end the show.
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you, Gina.
Or Gina, you could shave your hair now if you want.
Your hair, I wanted to say this, but then I thought, it would be sexist and wrong. Your hair looks great.
Thank you very much. I'll take a hair compliment any day. Thank you very much.
You can say the same of me if you wish.
And I just really wanted to thank the chat room for, just all the love I am getting today. Thank you so much. My head isn't going to fit into the Skype box if you guys keep going. This is incredible. Thank you to the chat room.
Chat room
scared me at first in the first year, but after that, it was a love affair.
Are you going to continue to post at scribbling.net? Yes.
Yes, I am. I am. I sure am. In fact, I did a post about wrapping up here. I'm going to try to be writing a little bit more.
Good. You're going to want some self-expression and more than just PHP. You need a little more than just a little C code, a little Java here and there. You got to use prose, baby.
Yeah.
Good.
It's true.
I love that picture.
I love that picture too. I included that picture because
Jeff, we're looking more like those guys.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, I like the Miss Piggy version too.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, Gina, all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jeff, you'll be back next week, right?
I think you should play Gina off with the trumpets.
You should never quit the show, Jeff, or I'll plots.
Well, I'm just afraid that our ratings are not going to go down to zero because we're going to watch for Gina. Could happen, right, boss?
Yeah, sad elephant trombone.
Too nice.
See you later, Gina. See you, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. This week in Google. Bye-bye.